Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to, what is the show? Welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke Owen, D-A-D, and I'm joined by Tempest the Wrestler. How are you, sir? I'm very sorry for my bad intro. I'm not used to doing Wednesdays.
Oh, it's quite all right. Don't you just blame it on the baby brain. You know, you can get away with anything for a year.
But I feel like I use that card a lot. Like,
for you're me being well a bit allowed. Rubbish.
You sure? Like, I can use it multiple times?
Yeah, I think so. Every once in a while, you can just be like, well, you know, I do have like a 2 month old.
Oh, yeah. She turns 2 months tomorrow, in fact.
Oh, how is dad like treating you?
That's an actual lie. She turns 8 weeks old tomorrow. That's not 2 months. Until the 23rd. But no, it's good. We're doing very well. I was talking with Ollie about this on the Raw podcast. So she's going through a leap. So it's sort of like she's got a growth spurt, but she's also going through mental leaps. So she's now starting to like understand things about the world, and she's understanding what the difference between night and day is. And she's sort of seeing more shape, and she's hearing more things. And that can cause massive stress to a person because like she's like, what is all of this? Which means that she is prone to crying more at like for no reason whatsoever. Like she would just be so happy and so content and then just burst into tears. Because she doesn't really know what's going on. But, you know, it's okay. Like, she's mostly, like, when we were looking at it yesterday, one of the things of purple crying, that's what it's called, is it can, like, crying can last up to 5 hours. And she is, like, at the most, she has cried for 10 minutes. And then she settles herself down. So, like, we have got lucky in that regard. We actually said yesterday, maybe we should just have the one because we got very lucky with this one. Do we want to play with fire and possibly have a second one and get a bad one?
Well, I mean, it's pretty understandable when you think about it. I mean, how often these days do you have your mind blown by something totally conceptual about the universe like that?
Well, exactly.
I'd be pretty stressed out if I learned what night and day was. I'd start crying too.
Well, speaking of you being stressed out, I had an idea over the weekend because I tuned in for a brief moment of your Saturday podcast that you were doing with Pete reviewing Rampage and SmackDown, because I very much enjoy you reviewing Rampage and SmackDown. And I listened to the full version of it on my way into the office to watch Full Gear, which was a much better show than both Raw and Rampage. Mm-hmm. But there was something that you said on the Rampage show. I was on the SmackDown show when I was in the chat, and I was trying to get your attention and highlight this, and you and Pete just weren't biting at what I was saying. You said, man, I'm so glad I don't have to review Nitro from the year 2000 because that would drive me insane. So I thought to myself, well, that feels like a Patreon series, doesn't it? me, Tempest and Pete review 2000's Nitro.
Yeah. I mean, if you're signing us up for that, more content means more Patreons, and that's fine with me.
I thought it might be fun.
I think it'll be fun. I think it might be a little bit more difficult for me to find, just because the Canadian WWE Network doesn't have an on-demand section.
That's right. You don't, do you? Oh, that's difficult.
Yeah, I just have a live channel. So that might be a little bit tricky, but I think there's still possibly ways around that. Maybe.
Do you know what? If we had to take alternative means to finding those things, it's not your fault. Not your fault. You had to find those alternative means. That's just WWE's fault for not putting the network. Like, the network's been out for like, what, 6, 7, 8 years at this point? And still in Canada, you've just got the live channel that it was 15 years ago?
Pretty much. I think it has something to do with my like cable provider, because there's only really two cable providers in Canada. It's basically like a two-way monopoly. It's Bell and it's Rogers. And Rogers, I believe, has an on-demand channel, although it's always been very limited. I don't know what it's like these days, but there were days where it was like, there was like one SummerSlam on there. There were maybe like five WrestleManias on there. So you really had to pick and choose what you were going to watch. But I don't know. For some reason, Bell doesn't have one, and I don't know why they just decide to hate Bell. I mean, I hate Bell, but that has very little to do with there being a WWE on-demand channel or not.
We actually, the news came out yesterday that Peacock is coming to Europe.
Oh, dear.
Could, and I think, in fact, like, sort of the advert, like, the image that they were showing for, like, Peacock is coming to Europe is, like, it had the WWE logo on it, so we may be losing our version of the network as well, which is, I mean, from what I have heard from friends stateside, and, you know, friend, we've got lots of friends stateside, we've got lots of, you know, there are other wrestling commentators that are also stateside who have all said the same thing, the Peacock app is no good for watching wrestling. And that could be a real shame, because if there's one real massive positive you can say about WWE currently, is the network is awesome. The network is so good. It's so easy to use. Its search functionality isn't like the best. But actually, no, I take that back. Like, if I go onto the network now, I'm just going to load up the network now to prove a point. And I click search and I click Raven. It gives me, wait for it to load, every pay-per-view match the Raven has had automatically linked to it. So if I click like WrestleMania X7, it will just take me to the Hardcore Triple Threats. It's got various different series that he's a part of. You can just jump to matches on those TV shows. You can jump to moments on those TV shows, like backstage segments and stuff. You can like drill it down by championship matches that he has.
Wow.
This is like, so I could just click on the United States Championship and it would give me all of his US title matches from WCW. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good system. And apparently we're not going to get that when it comes to the Peacock version.
Yeah, I mean, we've been hearing horror stories about the Peacock stuff all year, and every time we've watched a pay-per-view and we just see in the commentaries like, oh, Peacock's down. Mm-hmm. And we're all doing our live reactions, and we're like, ha ha, you Americans.
Well, yeah, like, we had this over the weekend as well when we were doing Full Gear, because I believe Bleacher Report had an absolute mare with their Full Gear stream. And we didn't have an issue whatsoever, because we were using Fight, and Fight's really good for that sort of thing. Fight have a, like, their whole business platform is like, hey, we're a very good streaming service, and you know, for wrestling and stuff. So we had no issues there either. Like, if they took away Fight, like if AEW came over and was like, and now you have to watch it via Bleacher Report, I'd be like, oh man, I really like Fight though. The Fight, the Fight app's really good. It's not great for casting to the TV because it's still in beta testing, but for the most part, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I use Fight over here, and if I couldn't, I would be very disappointed. So I'm very much in the same boat. You know, obviously the WWE Network is not what it probably should be. Like, I never watch the WWE Network over here just because it's only a live channel. If you're not watching like a takeover or a pay-per-view, you're just like, oh, let's see what's on. Oh, it's like Corey Graves podcast, or it's WWE. I don't know what any of their shows are called. Is their stupid little 5-minute shows that go in between the actual shows? You know, they might be running episode of the Steve Austin podcast, which are very good, but it's like it's a crapshoot what you're gonna get. I did turn it on one point, I will say, and they were playing like a 1991-1992 WCW pay-per-view, and I was like, I'll watch this. I turned it on and it was like Cactus Jack versus Sting. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. Some old wrestling. Let's go. Yeah. If they just played like pay-per-views on shuffle on that channel, basically, I'd just leave it on. It would just be like my white noise.
I was trying to find something. I wanted to show you. So if I feel like I'm distracted for a second. Aha, I found something. Okay. Well, I'm going to go into the main portion of this show. But there was something that I will be showing you when we get into the outro portion of this show. So for now, here's us talking about NXT. LOL, WTF, what was that poker segment? Brackets, what was the rest of this episode of NXT 2.0? I am Luke Cohen, DAD, and I'm joined by that bitch, your Quizzlemania champion, the longest reigning Quizzlemania champion, in fact, Tempest T-Wrestlist. How are you, Tempest?
As might come as a bit of a surprise for everybody, I'm actually doing quite well. I'm full of positivity these days. I don't know that that is going to apply to the next hour of programming, but...
Well, hey, you know what? Before we get into that, this episode of the WrestleTalk podcast is brought to you by beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Get yourselves 10 free craft beers on us. They are an incredible service. You get them delivered straight to your door. They are always delicious. You get a little snack in there and a magazine. It's a fabulous service. All you got to do is pay for that postage and packaging to your door. It's for UK viewers only. We are better than you and we drink it. So please click the link in the video description down below or the one that's being spammed by our moderators right now. beer52.com/WrestleTalk. We'll talk a little bit more about those after your first round of Ultra Chat. Tempest, can I shock you?
Yeah.
Thought this episode was fine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're real mad about it. You had a little rant about it in the news today. I will get into the fan community poll about the thoughts on this show later. I saw people, like, you know, really getting pissy about it on the old Twitter machine. But I know I watched it and I was like, yeah, it's fine. It'd have been better if it was an hour long. But yeah. I give this as much of a shrug as I have given previous episodes of NXT 2.0. It's just, it was what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, I can see that outlook on it for sure. You know, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, yes, it can kind of get mixed in with much of the rest. But when I was watching this, like, man, it was just, I did not enjoy like a single thing on this show, I'll be honest. Yeah, and that was what killed me. Killed me. Usually at least there's one match or one segment or something where I was like, hell yeah, that was cool. We had a great main event last week, even though the finish was dumb. At least we got a really good match out of it, and I was super excited for that. At no point during this show did I enjoy what I was watching. And normally I would say that's me being curmudgeonly and negative and all that, but I go into each of these shows wanting to like them, and then I'm just disappointed. And man, this, once I sat through the poker segment, there was nothing this show could do to redeem itself. That was like an all-time horrible segment.
It was long. It was real long. I like Josh's comment here, which is like, how is there 7 hours of WWE television a week and it's all exactly the same?
Because the crazy old bastard.
Like twice in a row.
Oh my god. The old senile fool only likes one style of wrestling, and it's a bad style of wrestling. So we get 7 hours of it every week.
Well, let's start with that poker segment. So you said in your review, I watched the show before I watched your review of it, because I'm cool and I get an early teaser of what Tempest review is because I work here. I don't have to wait until the video was released. And I watched the show before I saw your notes. My first note of this, they do an extremely long rundown of the rules. This is like TNA. And lo and behold, what did you say in your review? God, this is just like TNA.
It sure was. It sure was. And I made sure to look this up before the show so that I could be a professional and know what I was talking about. The Go Fish segment from like the June 5th, 2014, I think was the date, episode of TNA Impact between Gunnar and Sam Shaw, Dexter Lumis and Jackson Riker playing Go Fish on Impact. What in the... Who was in charge of writing Impact at that time? I'm not certain, but I think it very well might have been Bruce Pritchard, which says a lot about all of this.
That would be right, actually. Yeah, when did you say it was?
2014, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a Pritchard year. That sounds like a Pritchard era of TNA.
Holy smokes. Christ wept.
To be the beacon of positivity here. This got remarkably good heat from the crowd, considering how they couldn't see the cards, they couldn't see the graphics that we could see on screen, and if they could, that's actually worse, I think, because surely Cameron Grimes could just turn around and just see that his win percentage was really low. But for whatever reason, I think it's because Cameron Grimes is incredibly charismatic. This got pretty decent heat, all things considered.
Well, that's certainly a lot more positive than I thought it was. I didn't think this had very good heat at all. I thought there was a long stretch of absolute silence while people were just like, oh, they're just playing cards in the ring. I think
once, like, what's the other guy's name? I don't even know what his name is.
Duke Hudson.
I need to call him Duke Grimes then. Duke Hudson. Like, there was a point when Grimes sort of got into his head, right? And, like, he sold it that, like, he was sort of buying into it. I think the crowd knew. Did they know? The crowd knew that Cameron Grimes had no good cards and that Duke what's-his-face was getting worked by all of this. So they started to get quite wrapped into it, started chanting fold at him, started chanting all this, all of that and the other. So yeah, my notes for this, considering how bad this segment was, remarkably, there was some heat for it.
Some. And that to me is the difference. But you know what would have had more heat? A wrestling match.
Oh, Tempest. Tempest dropping the swear 7 minutes in.
Oh, my God. I'm getting it out of the way early. But I said last week, and I was fingers crossed holding out hope on this show that the poker showdown would be just a poker-themed street fight. I was really hoping.
It was going to be another poker game.
Of course it was, because this show sucks. But I was hoping that this show wouldn't suck and I would get some wrestling on my wrestling show. And no, we can't have that. I was hoping that there would be tables set up like poker tables. You could have like big poker chips, maybe big cars.
Now Tempest. Now, Tempest, what was the end of this segment?
Yes, ultimately, he got put through the poker table, which is better. With a wrestling move, but I would have liked to have seen several dozen wrestling moves in a row within the confines of a wrestling match.
But now we've set up a wrestling match.
That would have been my preferred way to watch this.
But now we've set up a wrestling match. Although, weirdly, I think we're setting up a hair versus hair match. I don't know how. That was the thing that I found most puzzling about this. Is that this is a feud built around poker and luck and bluffing. And at the end of it, he grabs some scissors and starts cutting his hair. And I'm like, are we building to a hair versus hair match? How did we get from point A to point C? Here, there's no through line to this.
I don't know. Why does he use, like, you know what? Screw that man and his hair in particular. I don't.
That was it. I was like, huh. Well, a wacky end to that segment, which already was a fairly wacky segment. Yeah, so the gimmick of it was, if you haven't seen it, they had just a regular poker match. And they explained, because poker's not really a game you can easily explain to people, like in 30 seconds, they had to put this graphic up on screen that said, like, here is how poker works. And then they had, like, in the corner, they showed you, like, what their cards were. They had, like, extra camera shots to show you, like, what their hand were. And
Like a poker show.
A poker show. And then in the corner, they had, like, your win chance percentage. And they had sort of, like, what the flop was and what the river was and all this stuff. I don't really play poker. And they had, like, all the sort of graphics up on screen and stuff. So it made it feel like it was a real poker game. And I went into this with the intention of not making any notes, because I'm just like, how can I take notes on this? And then I thought, oh, bugger, I'm going to have to make notes. Otherwise, I'm not going to remember anything that happened in this segment. So here
all
are my
play
notes.
Play-by-play from Luke Owen. All the cards that got turned over.
Here are my notes. Grimes has a win percentage of 3. It then jumps to 18 with the next card. I don't know what to make of this. It's getting remarkably good heat, though. The pot is now $20,000. The final card puts Duke up to 100%. Grimes goes all in despite having 0%. Duke folds because Grimes got in his head. Duke finds out he got played. A brawl breaks out. This was certainly a segment. Duke puts him through a table. He starts cutting his hair. That came out of nowhere. There you go. That is all. Did I miss a bit? That was pretty much all of it, right?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Yeah. It was just 150 times longer than you just said.
Like,
if this was
2 minutes,
if this was like 2 minutes, fine. That would be inoffensive. It would be like one of the skits that they did last week. Whatever. It just kept going. And you know what? I find poker shows to be just about the most boring thing on TV. I don't want to watch poker shows. And I don't want to watch poker shows in the middle of my wrestling show.
I would say this was not my least favorite thing on the show.
Wow. Holy smokes. This show is rough.
Do you know what?
Show is rough.
And I can tell you now, but I mean, I'll drop the spoiler now. It's what they've done to my boys, the Grizzled Young Veterans, that made me the most sad about this show. What have they done to the most offensive thing? What have they done to my beautiful boys? What have they done to them? That's the thing that made me more mad.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So anyway, that was the poker segment. Let's see what you have to say about it in the chat. We've already got one message about it thus far from Charles Berg saying, both Duke and Grimes suck at poker. Von Wagner has after-school special acting abilities. Brump Brumples got Steinmeth insult thrown at him. That was nice. All in all, the show is just a joke. I'd rather watch 2011 NXT Jam That Jam. And Nate S said, guys, clearly they're going to have Brutus the Barber Beefcake return to back Duke, and then Grimes can get the $1 million man back in his corner and they can have a match.
Sure.
Like, that's actually not. No, if Trips were still running this show, I could see that being the case. But bearing in mind that WWE, like Vincent Pritchard and Johnny Laurinaitis, have got sort of like a boner for the teenage demographic is what they're after at the moment. They ain't bringing back stars from the 80s. Like, that's not what their appeal is. You know, they're firing women for being so old at the age of 38. Can't get in the ground already, grandma. As I say that. I can say that because I'm 36. I'm a man, so I can get away with that. I'm a man. I can get away with being that age. But women, you got to be younger women. Just get younger already. So I don't quite see that. On Charles Berg's point, though, is this worse than Game Show NXT?
I've been thinking about it, because when I say that I think that this is possibly the worst episode of NXT that I've ever seen, when I say that, I do mean Full Sail and Onward when I say that. It would have to be that, because I'm sure that there were episodes of NXT Redemption Season 5 that just never ended that were probably worse than this. That being said, there were also episodes of that show that were better than this, because I remember that Tyson Kidd and Yoshitatsu actually had like a really interesting and unique little storyline about an action figure at one point, where it was just like, it's like when Mustafa Ali and Buddy Murphy went out on Main Event and they were just, or 205 Live, and they were like, okay, have a no DQ match, but you can't use any weapons. And they're like, all right, how do we make this show good? How do we make the most of this stupid little match where they don't let us do anything? And they had like an incredible four and a half star match using only the steel steps. And it was great. Yeah. I feel like that was very much the same way back then, where you had guys that weren't getting put on TV very often, like a Yoshitatsu and a Tyson Kidd, and they went out there and made the most of their segments. I can find things to enjoy about shows like that. That being said, there were definitely episodes of Redemption that were worse than this. But this was pretty goddamn bad.
Kevin May said, sorry, Luke, I'm with Tempest on this one. The show was absolutely dire. It didn't make me as angry, just sad that the NXT that I used to watch. Also, am I right that they didn't used to have Kevin Dunn's special of having cameras on springs? I feel like NXT camera work was always like, because, you know, they're training to be WWE cameramen, so they have to do the Kevin Dunn style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't as unbelievably horrible as like Raw and SmackDown. I remember like Brian and Vinny, of course, would compare things where they would do like an airplane spin spot. Tyler Bate would do an airplane spin and you could just kind of watch him spin around, and then they would do like the Cesaro swing spot on SmackDown and they'd cut the camera 37 times in 16 seconds. I don't think that it's always been quite this bad, but there were a number of moments where I was texting someone watching this and just being like, oh my god, like, this show is just main roster through and through.
That main event angle, the camera work on that, I had a blues clue what was going on. I didn't gonna make out anyone. I was like,
I couldn't figure out who Cora Jade was for a second.
No, I had to go to the figure four like write up of the show to be like, who was in that main event segment, because I lost track of who everyone was because of the really bad camera work. Thank you very much for all of your Ultra Chats. You can join the conversation, resttalk.com/support. Get in your Ultra Chats. We'll read out all of them above the $5 US mark before the end of the show. Actually, just before we do that, JS Wooten said, time is a flat circle. TNA becomes Impact. TNA writers go to work for WWE. NXT becomes 2.0 and is written by TNA writers. NXT 2.0 is TNA because time is a mother flipping flat circle. JTJ, DAD, LIW for life. I mean he's not wrong. Join in the conversation, wrestletalk.com /support. And while you're thinking of links, beer52.com /wrestletalk, get yourself 10 free craft beers on us. Just got to pay for that postage. I know a lot of people will be very upset about this, but because I'm currently doing this from my home, there is no sponsor cam today. It got over so huge yesterday on the Raw show. People loved sponsor cam. I got so many, and this is genuine, I'm not being sarcastic about this either. I got genuinely lovely messages from people saying that sponsor cam was great. So sponsor cam will be making a return, just not on today's episode. So let's talk about this week's NXT, shall we? Kicked off with Tony D'Angelo versus Dexter Lumis. It's sort of like Twitter's two favorite things, really, I guess, coming together. It was all right. Angelo won because he distracted the referee and then he thumbed Dexter Lumis in the eye and hit a swinging neck breaker for the win. And then afterwards, I wrote here, Carmelo Hayes and the other guy attack him after the match and they break Dexter Lumis's hands. And then Johnny Gargano runs down for the save. We'll talk about the promo segment afterwards. Any thoughts on the match itself?
Not really, you know, and that's kind of the thing. Like at least 6 months ago, I could have hated it because Dexter Lumis was in it. But I feel like Dexter Lumis's in-ring work has been really toned down as of late. You know, he doesn't do a lot of the Dexter Lumis-isms anymore. He still does his weird little knuckle walk. And I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing because I didn't enjoy Dexter Lumis's matches for a long time. But that being said, like, this was just a kind of nothing 5-minute match.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. He had a painting under the side of it that had, like, who put that painting there in the kayfabe world? Or did Tony D'Angelo just walk past it and not see it? But it had a picture of Tony D'Angelo sleeping with the fishes, see? Because he's Adelian. Bada bing. Gabagool.
Forget about it.
afterwards, Gargano challenged Carmelo to come back out. Instead, Pete Dunne came out to point out that he beat Carmelo Hayes last week. And
then, at least we got that.
At least we got that, because I'll be honest, Bron Breakker didn't, like, he just pretended that he didn't lose at Halloween Havoc. We'll get to that segment in a bit. That was, for me, was worse than the poker segment. And then, like, Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams start cutting a promo and talking about how, like, you know, they're the new young talent. And Pete Dunne just highlights, was like, we're the same age. I'm better than you. And I've got 10 years more experience than you have. And I was like, man, this is making this Carmelo Hayes look like an absolute chump of all chumps around here. And then he suggests they do a triple threat next week, which, you know, they were putting over in commentary, felt like a rookie error. And I guess that's the story here, is that he has been sort of schooled by two veterans.
Yeah, I mean, Trick Williams was kind of losing his mind at the same time. Like, hey, bro, what are you doing? Don't put the title on the line there. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if he freaking loses this title already. I'm going to lose my goddamn mind. I mentioned to Pete yesterday, did you know that with the exception of the Isaiah Swerve Scott Santos Escobar match that immediately preceded the Carmelo Hayes title change, the North American champion has not won a singles match on NXT since January?
Wow. Oh, dearie me.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good at all.
No
wonder this belt doesn't feel like it means much.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, kind of like how, like, the Intercontinental title doesn't feel like important at the moment. Yeah. Like, I forget sometimes that Nakamura is the champion. Like, I really forgot about it until they announced on Raw that he's facing Damian Priest this Sunday. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's because he got pinned on Friday. Like, apropos of nothing, I got pinned by a tag team guy. Yeah. I could just feel like, I don't know why this company just has, like, you know, they're props for these people to hold. Clearly, it's so much props that the tag team champions, the women's tag team champions, happily handed their belts over to someone else so they could borrow them for an hour. What are you doing? They're supposed to be an important part of your act.
No, they just left them. They went missing. We never saw them looking around for them. It was just like later in the show, they walked up and then someone was like, oh, here you go. And they're like, oh, yeah. We're missing these.
It's not even like they said, we're missing these. They gave them to them. They said, oh, thanks for letting us borrow these. Borrow them? It's not a pair of earrings. It's not a t-shirt. It's meant to be an important... We'll get to that.
It's trash.
Diamond Mine cut a promo. Speaking of trash, Joe Gacy walks in. Is he joining their group?
I hope not. Why did this happen?
It didn't lead to anything on this show. LA Drake got a video package cutting a promo on Grayson Waller. He's
LA
still
Drake,
a...
you say?
Oh yeah, he's LA Knight, isn't he?
You know that Eli Knight.
Yeah, Eli Drake, LA yeah. Knight, you're right. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Good. My notes are bad. LA Drake got a video package and cut a promo. He is still a very, very good promo.
Yeah, it's cool. I don't much care for his rivalry with Grayson Waller, but...
No, that's because he's in the wrong company now. He's in the wrong brand. Just put this man up on the main roster. He is out of place on NXT 2.0.
Yeah. He's always kind of been out of place on NXT. You know, he's one of the guys that should be fast-tracked to the main roster. Put him in NXT for, like, 2 months because you gotta, I guess, you know, everyone gotta go through NXT, but... He's a good talker that can talk the way that WWE people want. Just put him on the main roster. I don't know how he didn't get drafted.
I don't know. I would have thought he was a lock to get drafted.
Yeah.
Speaking of people that do not belong in NXT 2.0, Diamond Mine took on the team of Odyssey Jones and Jacket Time. Yeah. Jacket Time with Kushida. Why are you still here, Kushida? This makes me so sad to see Kushida like this. He's in a Tempest. He's in a tag team called Jacket Time.
He sure is.
This whole point of NXT 2.0 is because, like, oh, hey, pal, we haven't got any people that can main event WrestleMania. Were you going to main event WrestleMania with Jacket Time? Jacket Time.
Yeah.
Jacket Time.
It's
anyway,
cool. Whatever.
Mm. The Creed brothers look like local jobbers that would get squashed by Braun Strowman. Odyssey Jones pinned Roderick Strong. I still think he's going to win the Cruiserweight title at some point.
I'm coming around on this idea. Not that I think it's a good idea, but I think that it's going to happen. You know, they just cannot help themselves. They need to pin a champion on every show.
Yeah.
Don't understand it. I don't understand this one at all.
Tempest, how else can you build a title match if you don't pin the champion?
I don't know. There's just no other way, it seems. It's not like every other single promotion in the world has figured it out or something.
It's cool. Then, okay, so. What have they done to my beautiful boys? The Grizzled Young Vets are so good. Their whole gimmick is... We're a serious tag team, and you're all bellends. You all act like dorks and children. It's the whole point of their feud with MSK was just like, stop acting like you're so annoying and bellends and this and the other. And now they're running a con to trick Zach Gibson's nan into thinking that they are tag team champions so he can be part of her inheritance. And to do this, they stole... borrowed Toxic Attraction's tag titles. What was this?
I haven't got the slightest goddamn clue. Not the slightest clue. I don't know. It's someone being like, haha, Vince will find this really funny. Let's write this. Despite it absolutely not fitting their character whatsoever. And we got like a dumb skit for them last week where they were out trying to, they like stole from a guy. They ordered Postmates or whatever. I don't know what the food delivery services are in the United States, but they got Uber Eats from some guy's phone because he thought, I don't know, whatever. But I said last week that this would be like a fine skit for like the 80s or early 90s that I could see like some goofball heel team doing. It's like, haha, we got to practice our thievery, our deception. We got to practice on regular people so we can be good in matches. That being said, I don't want to see it from the grizzled young veterans. Serious, awesome
tag team.
Super worker tag team.
They're not the tag team to be doing this kind of skit with. Like, hey, yeah, you know what? It's not funny. So that's problem number one. But that's not the biggest problem here. Problem number B, is it's the wrong tag team to be doing this with. They're not these guys. And I love Zach Gibson. Zach Gibson is genuinely hilarious. He's so, so funny. I have heard him cut some of the best promos, always getting a pop from the crowd because he's got incredible delivery and off-the-cuff stuff as well. He is a genius with it. This is not what Zach Gibson should be doing. This is not how you use a Zach Gibson. And you should be ashamed of yourselves that you did this. Every single person involved with writing that segment should be ashamed of yourselves.
Hell yeah, man. But I will say, you say that they're not the right tag team for this. You can have stupid dickhead goofball MSK doing a comedy segment, and it's still terrible. So I don't think that they should just be writing stupid goofy comedy skits, because they're not good at them.
Speaking of which, MSK did do a comedy skit. I wrote here, MSK do comedy. It sucks. I hate them so much.
Yeah, they've totally turned me against them.
I'm so glad that you and Pete now realize that I've been right all this time. I have been telling you for weeks and months that these guys are dickheads. And listen, but now those tables are turning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all I wanted in the world was for them to have a rivalry with the Grizzled Young Veterans and get like a new version of the revival and DIY, where they could just have great matches. You build to a rematch, simple booking between two talented tag teams. And now we got whatever this is. I still don't know what it is. They've just been on like a 3-week voyage. It seems they missed the bus, and then they were making 420 jokes last week. They needed to get on a plane. Now they got on different planes. I don't understand. I don't understand what any of this has to do with them losing the tag titles, where they've never said, I'm going to vow revenge. I want those tag titles back. Nah, they don't care. So why do I care? I don't.
Do you care about Zion Quinn beating Andre Chase?
I like Zion Quinn a little bit.
Yeah, he's good. He's a cool looking guy.
Yeah.
Andre Chase. Was it Nowinski who did the whole like I'm from university thing? Like I was watching Survivor Series 02 for WrestleTalk Extra. And when he came out, I was just like, this is basically because Vince McMahon didn't get to do this with Nowinski. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, Zion Quinn won very, very quickly. Legado del Fantasma attacked after the match. And Electra Lopez sort of stared at him being like, you're rubbish.
No one says no to me.
And then they walked to the back.
Yeah. I'm really struggling to find things that I like. I thought he took a very nice little back bump on that steel girder thingy. Yeah. I saw that and I went, ooh, that looked like it hurt.
Yeah, it really did. Sucked to be
this
him.
This is the level that I'm trying to stoop to praise things. It's like, oh, he took a good bump.
So Raquel Gonzalez backstage cuts a promo on Dakota Kai. And then, who's the lead commentator for NXT 2.0? What's his name?
Vic Joseph?
Vic Joseph. I think. So, yeah. I didn't know this until I went onto Twitter later. I believe, and I might be wrong on this, and Twitter might have misled me, he is dating Mackenzie Mitchell.
Hmm.
I believe I saw on Twitter today, which I'm so glad I found out, because when she threw it back to him, he said, and I quote, thanks, babe. And I was like,
I didn't catch that. She went, that's tremendous.
Thanks, babe. You know, because they're dating in that. So when he sounded like it first, I was like, whoa, this is a workplace, sir.
Oh, that's
another day. I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes more sense then.
Wow.
Yeah. The crowd is telling the chat's telling me they're also engaged, apparently. But yeah, man, at first I was like, sir, you are at work. We then got the poker showdown segment, and then we got Cool Kyle approaching Von Wagner and says, "Hey, I saw you on SmackDown." And Von Wagner was like, "That was nothing. Let's go have a tag match." And I'm like, what?
It sure was nothing, wasn't it?
You mean it was nothing? I mean, yeah, you're right. It was nothing. But what do you mean? It was like, you were on SmackDown with Adam Pearce. Again, with no explanation whatsoever. We cut to this show. What's the explanation? That was nothing. Should we have a tag match? What? How is this the follow-up?
Oh, my Lord. Like... They didn't explain anything on SmackDown, because I made the theory. My theory on the SmackDown podcast was that he was added in post.
Oh, no, I like your other theory. There. I like your other theory that only Sami Zayn could see him.
Yes. That's,
yeah, I like that, because like Deonna said here, Kyle can see him as well.
I don't think Von Wagner actually exists. I think he's an apparition that can only be seen by the chosen few.
If by the Super Ring of Honor, faces. You yeah. can see him.
Oh my God. They really fail on every level of storytelling.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a thing. Why is it happening? Oh, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Literally saying, it on telly, saying, "Yeah, it doesn't matter. Did yeah. you care? Yeah, it doesn't matter. So why no. did you care?" They did have a tag match against Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs. The story of this match is that Kyle O'Reilly's rubbish and Von Wagner's awesome. So you should just cheer for Von Wagner.
Well, he's big, you see. Here are my takeaways from this match. One, Von Wagner has rubbish tights. They're just so boring and bland. Two, Brooks Jensen came out with a big old BJ on his chest, which is a hell of a choice here. And three, I've been meaning to bring this up for a while. I hate the combination of names of Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs, because I always want to call them Brooks and Jensen. It just messes up. I don't know, because Brooks sounds like Briggs, and Brooks doesn't sound like a first name either. You know, so yeah. I'm just like, oh, yeah, you know, it was Brooks and Jensen. I was like, no, that's one person.
This is like when I first started working for WrestleTalk, and it was actually just before I joined. I didn't really know much about like wrestling YouTube, in all honesty. Like I didn't watch anything on I only watched WrestleTalk because Ollie was a friend of mine, so I used to watch him and sort of support the news videos that he was doing. I didn't watch any of the wider stuff. I didn't know who an Adam Blompier was. I didn't know what culture was or anything like this. And so I was having this chat. Me and Ollie were in drafts. And he was kind of talking me through. He was like, okay, well, like, here's us. Here are all the other people that are doing wrestling content. And he said, Steven Larson. And I was like, oh, cool. Who's he? He's like, no,
yes, that great man, Steven Larson.
And he said, no, they're two people, Steve and Larson. I said, oh, I think you said Steven Larson.
hang on. I can actually do it this week. Hang on. Luke, how much do you know about Yu-Gi-Oh? Where is it? Where is it?
36. I know nothing about Yu-Gi-Oh.
Bam! I activate polymerization to combine Steve and Larson into Steven Larson. Oh, Lord.
Anyway, so they won. And Imperium were watching backstage and cut a promo saying that they won't be able to beat them. Indy Hartwell and her friend were worried about Dexter Lumis. So Indy's friend said, go and have a look at Dexter and I'll go and wrestle our tag match alone. We'll get to that in just a second, because first, it's Lashing Out with Lash Legend.
Sure was.
If you can't produce good backstage segments... Like, you know, because the idea of this is to make it look like it's an Oprah Winfrey style talk show.
Mm-hmm. In front of 12 people.
If you can't make it look like that, why do it?
Yeah.
You know how I said, like, when they did the Haunted House thing on Halloween Havoc, and I was like, if you can't make a good looking horror movie, then sort of don't make one. Mm-hmm. Like, and certainly don't put it on broadcast TV. Mm-hmm. But it looks so cheap and low rent. And I don't know if that's the point. It's meant to look cheap and low rent.
No, I think that they think this is good.
Hmm.
And I don't, yeah, I don't think this is good at all.
This wasn't very good. And like, she cuts a promo on Kaylee Ray, and then he cuts a promo on Eli Drake, LA Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, and it, because it cuts to the show, right? And it's just like, you know, welcome to Lashing Out with Lash Legend. Here's my, you know, I'm going to cut this promo on KLR. And then Grayson Waller comes in. He cuts a promo too. Sorry, that's all we've got time for on the show. It's like, okay, so what you're telling me, your broadcast show is a minute and a half long?
People bought tickets for this minute and a half.
Exactly. These 12 people bought tickets for your 90-second show?
Yeah.
How did this get commissioned?
I don't know. Who's supplying the funding for this show?
If anyone's, because someone's just said, Wendy Williams, Luke, don't insult Oprah. I don't know. I've never seen an episode of Oprah. I don't know who Wendy Williams is. I'm not in America. I could have given you a UK reference. I could have said a Jeremy Kyle. And for that, because that's my only cultural touchstone that I've got.
Wendy Williams on like The View or something like that. I don't know.
And a Scooby-Doo. I don't know who she is.
Yeah. Yeah. God. Freaking Grayson Waller saying, oh, wins and losses don't matter. I was like, go F yourself.
How dare you?
Every so often, someone actually, you know, and I was just like, oh, like friggin' Road Dog just has his little grubby fingers in this show somehow, or someone like that. Where they can just put their wins and losses don't matter agenda out into the world. And I was just like, drives me up the wall.
Do you remember when they did that
simulated WWE sport?
Do you remember when they did that WWE network thing of JBL and Road Dogg sitting there talking about, man, I can't believe those internet nerds were so mad about us beating Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. It led to WrestleMania 30. I'm like, you did, like, that's not what happened. And you know that's not what happened. There's been Bryan Danielson literally wrote in his book, that's not what happened. And everyone's reporting at the time, that's not what happened. But these guys have the gall to go onto these like shows and be like, well, internet nerds are just wrong about this and we're the right ones. When actually, no, you're the wrong ones. Just because you have a character say wins and losses don't matter doesn't automatically mean that. Because otherwise, here's listen up, Road Dog. What's the point of your show then? If wins and losses don't matter, why have the wrestling matches?
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's it. Why are we watching that? Just make a comedy show if you want to make a goddamn comedy show, Vince. How about you give up on wrestling? You don't like wrestling, so just make your stupid little movies that you want to make so far. Put the Marine 17 on TV if that's what you want to make.
They are the next Marvel. Persia Parada beat Gabby Stevens and Gina Levy, I think her name was. I put it here. This was supposed to be a tag match, but Indy Hartwell is busy. Robert Stone was watching as she hit a double Samoan drop and a sit out F5 for the win. That's a cool finish. Shrug.
I did not think this match was very good, like at all, if I'm being honest. And Robert Stone, they fired all the people that was associated with his act. So he just needs to go and recruit more people, I guess.
I'm going to apologize to Mod Mother now to say that watching NXT is healthy for me. Sorry.
See, you thought this show was fine.
The show was fine. This was such a shrug of a show. Like, there was really those two things really, really made me angry.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, those are my swears for this show. Sorry, everyone. Kota Kai got interviewed. Toxic Attraction walked up and stood in a row. And then the Grizzled Young Vets handed back their belts. No one seemed bothered by any of this.
I would like someone on the writing team to just explain what the point of anything is. You know, like if you can't explain what the point of something is on a show, don't book it. And that's pretty like screenwriting 101. I'm not going to say I'm a screenwriter, but I've taken creative writing classes a lot. And it's like the first thing that they tell you that if you put something on TV, there should be a reason.
Kind of like the video package we got for Casey Catanzaro and Kaden Carter, who they sure like going to music festivals. That's their character now. They like going to music festivals.
We like to go and rage out. It's like, oh my God, who wrote this? Who wrote it?
Okay, right. I am an old man. Okay, I'm 36 years old. Can people who are younger than me, because I know you're out there in the chat, does anyone of this, you know, the age they're appealing to, say, we're going to a music festival to rage out? Is that an actual phrase? And me and Tempest are just too old to understand this. Do the children actually say this?
Oh my God. How do you do, fellow God, kids?
No, we don't.
I thought this was like a PSA for don't do drugs at festivals or something. It had that kind of like, hey, kids, don't drink and drive. You can go and have fun at a music festival, but make sure that you're responsible.
I just thought, I was wondering if they went to that festival the weekend where the lead singer of Brass Against pissed on that fan. That was rad. You see that?
I did.
Oh, man, it was so metal. It was rad. During their cover of Rage Against the Machine, Wake Up as well. It was so cool. It was the most metal thing I've seen recently. So then we got this segment.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this segment was a massive fail. So Ciampa cuts this promo.
There was Steiner maths involved. It's the only good thing on the show.
Oh, Tempest, don't let them fool you with this. They're blinding you with nostalgia.
Oh, nostalgia from 2007 TNA. Oh, you really got me there, pal.
I mean, in all fairness, dude, that was like nearly 15 years ago.
Yeah, I know. So, I was a youngin'.
Ciampa cuts this promo. Real good promo from Ciampa, because Ciampa's a great promo. But the whole point of this promo was, man, the new crop of NXT talent sucks. To vetch like me are the only good things about this show. And then Brim Bruckles comes out. And good crikey, does Bron Breakker not feel special anymore. Like, that loss at Halloween Havoc really, really derailed that poor kid. Because he comes out now and I'm just like, why are you here? Because you got, it's like, destroyed by Ciampa. You got absolutely schooled by him. And then he cuts a promo on him like that match never happened. Mm-hmm. He's just like, hey, I'm the new kid on the block here. This is NXT 2.0. It's all about the new stars. Old guys like you should be stepping aside. I'm going to be the one to win the title. And I was like, dude, you lost just 2 weeks ago. And then it's Ciampa who has to, clearly the heel in this situation, who has to point out, you lost, kids. And then he does the Steiner math stuff to it, even though he's not a Steiner. And then he walks away, leaving Bron Breakker standing there looking like an absolute tool. What was this segment designed to do? At the end, like, what, when they sat down and put this on paper, where they said, what's our end result here? Because if your end result was to make Bron Breakker not look like a main event star, mission accomplished, because that's what this did.
Mm-hmm. You remember how we reviewed Halloween Havoc?
Sure did.
And we were like, we should have gotten a title change. Bron Breakker should have won the NXT title. I can't believe they didn't do it. And we were roundly chastised. Just like, oh, if they had done that, you would have said that Ciampa's reign was terrible, blah, 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 blah. And I said that there was a way that you could have had that match, get Bron Breakker over as a bigger star, even in defeat, and they didn't do that. And we were roundly chastised. And now here we are, like 3 weeks later, and he's a guy.
Yeah, just
a guy. He's just a guy, you know? And oh my God, he was so cool. He was such a big deal. They could have just strapped the rocket to his back and just said, go. I'm sure they'll do that. I'm sure they'll have him win at NXT War Games, but you know what? It's not going to mean as much because he's already lost.
You missed the boat. I think they missed the boat on this now. You're right. Like, you and I got really like houndly chastised for that episode because we were like, now is the time to do it. And I'll be like, well, he wasn't ready. He's not ready to put the belt on him. I was like, well, cool. Don't put him in that position then. Because that match was like, and if the story of that match, you know, I've since been told, like, Steven Larson, you know, did their review of it. And, like, they had a very different sort of look on it. Like, Steve was just like, dude got absolutely murderized. And Larson was like, I think the story they're telling is here that he got schooled by the veteran. I wish that was the story. And I kind of think sometimes, in some way, they do think that was the story. But if your follow-up to that story is, I should still be the champion. And the veteran standing there being like, you're still, you lost. It makes him look even worse because he came out here looking like he learned nothing from that encounter at Halloween Havoc. And if you learned nothing from that match, then you are an idiot and you are bad at what you do. So I thought this was a complete failure.
Yeah, I don't disagree, honestly, because Bron Breakker comes out the week after his match with Tommaso Ciampa, and it's like he came out and he cut a fairly decent promo saying, hey, I lost, but I'm gonna recollect myself. I'm gonna go on a tear and win a bunch of matches in a row. And then my goal is still to be the NXT champion. I didn't do it this time, but I'm going to push onward. I'm going to get there. And it's been, he's had one match since then, and he's back. He's like, no, me again. And it's like, no, that's not how this works. But it is, because it's a poorly written show.
Yeah. I thought this made him look incredibly bad. And not good this was. And then our main event was probably the best in-ring match on the show, I guess. Raquel Gonzalez versus Dakota Kai, both very good, but it ended in a real bad DQ. I was distracted by someone in the crowd wearing a Ghostbusters t-shirt. and then, in the end, Gonzalez got bumped into an exposed turnbuckle, and then Toxic Attraction ran out and caused the DQ. And here is where I think I've got my notes correct here. You might be able to correct me on some of this. Cora Jade came out for the save, but is rubbish. Mm-hmm. Then it was chaotically shot. Then Zoe Stark came out, but she can't do anything because she's on crutches. So she sent out Io Shirai to go and make the save. Io doesn't even the odds because it's still 3-on-4, but the heels bail. Zoe Stark has disappeared because the heels are now standing on the ramp, and Io Shirai shouts War Games.
That covers it.
I guess Zoe Stark is part of the War Games team if she's walking by that point.
She like tore her ACL or something, so I don't think she's coming back within the next 6 months.
Who's the fourth?
I haven't got a clue. If Zoe Stark is in this match, I will be absolutely shocked.
Stunned by that, yeah.
You know.
What do you think of the match? What do you think of the main event angle?
If this match just had a clean finish, I was going to be like, this was a bad episode of NXT, but fine. But they did the DQ. They just couldn't give like a normal match with a clean finish. They had to get their grubby little hands in it, and we got to sports entertain and all that. And this is where I was like, nah, this is the worst episode of NXT I've ever seen. Because you ended it with a goddamn DQ. Because that's where I felt like this genuinely did feel kind of like WCW or TNA, where I hated the show and it was terrible. You know?
Yeah.
The match itself was fine, but I'm not going to remember that because the ending was terrible. And yeah. As far as the main event, like angle and everything went, like, they're forcing gang warfare again, of course, you know, and that's just what they do because they can't help themselves. You know, every time around this time of year, there's like, oh, people are coming together. There's a new faction. And now we got to have War Games. And let me just say, they watched that ladder match a few weeks ago at Halloween Havoc and went, let's put all these women in a double cage.
Oh, it was a terrifying prospect.
I think that's not a good idea at all. I'm like, there obviously there are people in this match that are good workers, and hopefully those people will start the match and then carry the match. But come on, I mean, Cora Jade is 21 and green and having 2 or 3 minute matches on NXT every week. You're gonna put her in like a 45 minute War Games match? I don't think that's a very good idea. I hope I'm wrong. All rise to the occasion and they have a great match and everything goes off without a hitch. And I can sit here and review the show and be like, God damn, what a great match. I'm so glad I was wrong. But if I'm a betting man, I don't think that that's going to happen. And I just don't understand. I don't understand how you can book this show this way.
Well, that was this episode of NXT. You gave it 1 out of 5, I believe, in your review, right?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the lowest it'll go, I give this minus 5 stars. This show sucked. This was a bad show.
Eh, 2 out of 5. Like, it was fun. There was a couple of things in the show that were, like, bad. You know, I think that one character saying wins and losses don't matter. But that's not me getting angry at the show. That's me getting angry at the writers. I don't like what they've done with the Grizzled Young Vets. But everything else on the show was just, like, at the end of everything, I may as well have just, like, Alan Partridge style just shrugged and been like, meh, you know, that's what it was. So it's like what I thought about Raw this week. Eh, yeah, it's fine. 2 out of 5. But I think I am massively out of step with everyone else because, oh boy, 48% of the community polls gave this a 1 out of 5 terrible. 50% of the viewers here, 50% gave this 1 out of 5. With 25% giving it 3 out of 5, 17% giving it a 2 out of 5. So, yeah, I'm clearly out of step, but crikey, we haven't had a show like that for a while. Like, yeah. Raw had a period of time when it was getting 1 out of 5s consistently, but now it is just getting mostly 2 and 3s. I haven't seen an NXT one get a 1 like that for a while.
Show was rubbish. Utter rubbish. You know, yeah. We've reviewed the whole show. I don't really need to say too much more about it, but holy smokes. This genuinely was the title of this podcast. This was the worst of NXT, all rolled into one show.
Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats. Ding, ding, ding. Last chance for those support at, nope, wrestletalk.com/support. And then give your email address out then. Don't send it to that. wrestletalk.com/support. Get in your Ultra Chats. We will read out all of them above $5. Don't want any of your Canadian or Australian ones. Ryan Stiart says, LA Knight is their heel, right? He's still feuding with Grayson Waller, right? After Waller's trash talk on indie wrestling as a concept, am I supposed to like him? I know it's a reflection on the 2.0 mission statement, but still. No, I think Grayson Waller is the heel. I'm pretty sure, like, with on that the lashing out segment, he definitely felt like he was the heel because he was siding with who I presume is another heel.
I guess, maybe. I don't know. When you think about it, they had the triple threat match last week with Solo Sikoa, who I think is also supposed to be a heel because he, like, jumped somebody in his debut and was kind of heelish. But was that, like, a three-way heel match? I don't know. I don't know how any of these guys work out in the heel-face dynamic.
Shades of Grey. James Hanley, it's odd to me that poker was the game that was chosen to connect with the youngins. All my friends who are wrestling fans are also massive gaming nerds. Why not do a Smash Brothers match? I would agree that it's easier to follow than poker and just as pointless. Hey now, I love me some Smash Bros. Craigie, like, I nearly failed. I nearly flunked out of school because of Super Smash Brothers Melee because my friends and I. When you get, okay, I mean, this is a terrible lesson to impart upon people. I'm not saying that anyone should do this, but when I was 18 and I was in higher education, which was essentially optional, my friends and I, we used to just be like, I mean, I have got a free period coming up, but then I should really be going to class after that. Or my friends just flunked out of college. We could just go to his house and play Super Smash Brothers Melee. And that's sort of what we did a lot. We just sort of like skip classes to go and play Melee and drink.
Who's your main?
Oh no, so we always used random. So what we would do is we would have sheets of paper, because it was, you know, I went to school in the past. So we would, like, there was no such thing as tablets when I was a kid. No one had a laptop when you were, like, when I was at school. So we used to have, like, we had, like, a ream of paper from the printer, and you'd have each one of those, and you'd write down every character and every character across the top, and you would just cross them off as you do each character. So we would just randomize it until you have played as every single character at least once. And then you would tell them who's got the most wins, who's got the most kills in this and the other across 3-minute periods. And that person would be declared the overall winner for that day.
Holy smokes. That sounds like a long day of Melee, but that sounds like a good time. Okay, but You might have done that, but who's your main?
My main was Dr. Mario. Dr. Mario
honestly is a pretty solid choice. I loved
playing as Dr. Mario. My friend always liked Roy because his smash attack was just like, you know, the massive sword things. Like, you do that in the Game & Watch stage, it's just like riding up hills.
I'm a Pikachu man myself.
Oh, yeah, not a Pichu?
No. Pichu's just worse Pikachu. It hurts itself. It hurts itself with every move. Also, to the point of the Ultra Chat, how about we play a different card game?
Uno. Oh, you want to play Yu-Gi-Oh? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's have a couple of nerds on this show play Yu-Gi-Oh back and forth. Hey, man, I'd be into it. And for the sake of bringing up my Twitter namesake for a third week in a row, it's Bron Breakker, the Magical Warrior.
Very good. Just seeing the chat now because everyone's talking about what they were playing on Melee. Although a lot of people just talk about, I haven't played a Smash Brothers game since Melee. I played a little bit of the Brawl, I think, came after that on the Wii, but I went to university by that point and I didn't really play much of that one. Although I kind of wish I had, because Sonic was in it and Metal Gear was in it, like Solid Snake. Remember when that got announced? It was rad. Anyway, what did we get to? Tails P. I guess the people that care about wins and losses are the haters and busters because they're trying to get rid of.
I guess so.
Bacon Rasher, hi lads. I'm one of the few people that watches NXT UK. You work for BT Sports. And I can now say that it's better than NXT USA. Grizzly Young Vets must be wanting to go back now. Feel sorry for Tempest doing the review earlier. LIW for life. PS, after Full Gear, I had 3 hours sleep before I had to go to football. Eesh, man.
Goodness me.
I got home after Full Gear at 10 a.m. I was like, it took me so long. I didn't take me long to get home because my train wasn't until like 20 to 9. I just collapsed on my bed and fell asleep for a few hours. And then my parents came over and I was like, I'm just really tired now. James Hanley.
Let me sleep in, Mom. I want to get up.
Shut up, Mom. I'm trying to go to sleep. I'm trying to play Smash Brothers Melee. I haven't unlocked Game & Watch. We did unlock Game & Watch. See, I mean, how else are you going to do a full randomized show? Always, like,
of course.
Level stages were randomized as well. You're not allowed to pick the stage that you want. Come on now.
No, of course not.
James Hanley. I keep mentioning this, but if WWE was making content on the level of The Room in quality and unintentional laughter, then it would actually be entertaining. Although it's hilarious seeing what Corporate Suits thinks the kids like these days. Jam that jam.
Yeah. It's not, because it's not WCW levels of insanity. It's just bad.
Yeah, thing is, Tim, is I don't think it's bad. I think it's indifferent. It's boring. Yeah. Like, I'm so apathetic to this stuff. And I get it's just like, I'm just shrugging my shoulders at the end of it, being like, yeah, that's what it was.
That's worse. Love is not hatred. The opposite of love is apathy.
And I think it is worse. Like, I watch Raw, it's a 3-hour show. And at the end of a 3-hour show, I'm like, eh. Like, that's not a reaction. It's not a reaction you should have. Should either be like, man, that was really good. I'm so glad that was 3 hours. Or it should be, man, I cannot believe that show was 3 hours and I hated this, that, and the other. To watch a show for like the length of Lord of the Rings and be like, yeah.
Yeah. That's not great. To watch Endgame every week.
Exactly. I'll hot tag to you to read out our last few.
Very good. Valid Mamadipudi has been a member for 7 months in a row. Woo, we love our members. Says, oh, wow, it was an actual poker game. They used wrestling matches to build to a poker game. NXT 2.0 is a sketch show now with a wrestling backdrop. Very much true. I don't like it. Nate S. says, Luke, didn't you see the Ghostbusters already? What's your spoiler-free review? Or did I miss that on a different pod? I'm going this weekend. How many times has the baby seen the original Ghostbusters already?
I have seen Afterlife. I went to go see it on Monday, but I'll be reviewing it on the Cineworld show that we do on Cineworld's channel. So I'm recording that tomorrow. That'll be out on Friday. It's also available in podcast format, wherever podcasts are available. And I'll give you my thoughts then. Short version.
Aww.
Thumbs up. I cried. And how many times? The baby hasn't actually seen the original Ghostbusters yet. She hasn't seen many films because it's hard to get her to sort of settle down for that long period of time. Like, I want to say she's watched the films. We have watched films and she has been in the same room.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've actually been watching the Universal Monster Classics because they're an hour long. So we can probably watch those without the kit getting ready to kick off. It took us two attempts to get through Free Guy, though, because she was not pleased about some things. So and that's only like 90 minutes. So we really do have to find ourselves in like hour long movies.
See, what you need to do is you need a new show where it's like baby reviews. And if the baby cries during a movie, it's a bad movie. That's just the review.
Yeah. I said this to Pete Quinnell that, so the first wrestling show that my kid watched was Rampage. CM Punk versus Will Hobbs. I'll be able to tell it was the first wrestling match she ever saw. Well, she was in the room for at the very least. But I also watched Extreme Rules with her because I was up really early and my wife was asleep, so I let her watch that. She was silent the entire show. Like, she was just there. She'd fall asleep. She'd wake up. We'd coo at each other for a little bit. The second the red light hit at the end of Extreme Rules and the top row broke, she burst into tears. And that is a real indictment against that show. She was silent for the whole thing. As soon as that happened, start crying.
Yeah. Smart kid. Tails P says, is the War Games match built better than the Survivor Series match? Also, let's talk about the third hour. What do you guys think of Chucky? I haven't watched any of it, but
we still haven't got it here. I'm a bit angry about this. Sky have got it, and they aren't airing it yet.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Yeah. NXT airs on Sportsnet here, so after NXT airs, we get like, I don't know, whatever we get, sports. Is the War Games match built better than the Survivor Series match? I mean, we had about 30 seconds worth of build for War Games at the end of this, but yes, probably.
Yeah, I think it is actually. I think I would put money down. Yes, it is. It is better. This War Games match has thus far been built better than the Survivor Series matches this coming Sunday. Both of them.
It's been a 2 out of 5 build, which is better than the 1 out of 5 build that it was for Survivor Series. H-Train24 says, Jacket Time sounds like next kiddie show like Barney or Teletubbies. Don't besmirch the name of the Teletubbies. I'll go get Poe. I can't believe Luke thinks they're the best tag team ever.
I don't think I said that. I don't think I said they're a good tag team. I said they're called Jacket Time.
I'd rather watch the Teletubbies than this show. Let's just review Teletubbies instead. And finally, Trenton Brown says,
I'm trying to get you to watch 2000s Nitro. Like, that's my next pitch for you, is for you and I to watch 2000s Nitro together for Patreon.
Oh, we'll make it happen, man. If we can make that viable, we can make some money out of it, I guess. And finally, Trenton Brown says, if you ever want to get back into Smash, Luke, try Ultimate on the Switch. It's got Sonic, Solid Snake, and Mega Man.
Yeah, I mean, if I get it myself a Switch, you can bet your bottom dollar. But like, actually, no, it has got local multiplayer, hasn't it? Because that's the thing that I miss from gaming. I nearly got the new Hot Wheels game because I like a racing game. And it looks like it's a really fun racing game. And so I found out it's only got 2-player local multiplayer. Dude, have you seen the size of my TV? Give me 8-player multiplayer on that. I used to do 8-player multiplayer on Street Racer on the PlayStation. On a 14-inch TV. And now I've got this massive 60-inch monstrosity in my living room. And they go like, no, you can only play it online. Why? At the size of this thing, I can get 15 people on this screen. Two-player local multiplayer? Balderdash.
Well, you can play Ultimate, and you can play with 8 different people. Have a big old crazy match with 8 local multiplayer players.
Bring back local multiplayer. Thank you, Nintendo. Not many people will say thank you, Nintendo, because they do a lot of stuff that's shady. But still, 8 like local multiplayer. It's a lost art form.
Oh, yeah.
Biff52.com/WrestleTalk. Get yourselves 10. Speaking of local multiplayers, why don't you have yourself a local multiplayer with 10 free craft beers from us here at WrestleTalk. Click the link in the video description down below, or the one that's being spammed in the chat by our moderators. A wonderful, wonderful service. Literally 10 free craft beers. All you got to do is pay for that postage and packaging. Tempest, anything else you'd like to say before we get out of here?
I'm actually in a good mood. I had a very good time reviewing this show.
Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. No, otherwise, I'm good. I'm probably going to go have a nap because I was up very late doing this review last night. And then after that, back to more work.
Well, until then, I'm back tomorrow with the AEW Dynamite review. Very excited for that. It's me and Ollie doing that. And then afterwards, it's the Survivor Series predictions. Me versus Pete for the Jam That Championship. And Ollie versus Laurie in the race for the bottom of Wrestle League. This season of Wrestle League is coming to an end. Both Ollie and Laurie are tied at the bottom of the league. This show, Survivor Series, is going to determine who will be doing the next punishment video. Could Ollie Davis do a record third punishment video in 1 year, losing three Wrestle Leagues in a row, which I don't think has ever happened before in the history of us doing this? Might be the worst Wrestle League player in the history. So tune in for that. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. Okay, right. Are you ready for this?
Absolutely.
Okay, 1 second. Let me just get that up so we don't lose all of this stuff. So I was working on a little something the other day. Monday, in fact, because it's we're coming to the end of the month, which means we've got to get in our Manscaped sponsorships.
Right.
And I record the Manscaped sponsorships myself. I get given sort of like the brief and stuff, and I basically just go like, here is the list of things, you know, that when you read through, and I add a bit of jokes and humor here and that and the other. And on the way home from Full Gear, I suddenly had this revelation of a new way to advertise Manscaped. Mm-hmm. And I thought, there's one person who will appreciate it. It's Tempest the Wrestler. So here is... It debuted on yesterday's podcast. At least I'm pretty sure it did. I think Vinny put it in there, but no one messaged me about it. So I've had no one tell me that they appreciated it yet. But here is my new advert for Manscaped.com.
You know it's all about your balls. Manscaped, baby. You know it's time to shave your balls. Manscaped, baby.
And it goes on like that. I do a whole verse for it.
I do indeed.
The name. Performance package is the game. Lawn Mower 4.0. Waterproof cordless steal the show.
So I bet that's how I spent my Monday.
Well, as expected, I do greatly appreciate that.
I thought you might. I played it for Ollie yesterday. He was like, only you could ruin one of the only good wrestling themes that we have at the moment.
Like the That's a little bit harsh.
Like the truly great wrestling theme song. And I was like, yeah. No, I'm going to talk about balls now. And now it's all Emma will ever hear whenever they hear Adam Cole make an entrance.
I mean, you've got Denise Salcedo saying that she only thinks of Sean Ross Sapp saying
butts
when yep. It's all about the butts. So what's the difference, really?
Exactly. Shave your balls, everyone. Manscaped.com. That's actually that's an extra little advert there for Manscaped. They haven't paid for that one. That's just me giving them extra content. Yeah. Tempest, I actually meant to ask you, I'll ask you one now. Are you free to do the Friday show with me?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Cool. And brilliant. In which case, I will ask you what your plans for the weekend are on that show. There's something for you to look forward to. coming up tomorrow, though, myself and Mr. Davis will be doing the AEW Dynamite review. So excited for this week's episode of Dynamite. Cannot tell you how excited I am for this week's episode of Dynamite. And then following that, there will be the Survivor Series 2021 prediction stream with myself versus Pete and Laurie versus Ollie for the race to the bottom. I really don't know what I'm going to do with the Survivor Series predictions because I'm so apathetic to the show. I have literally no opinion on any of the matches. I don't know which way they're going to go, but not for the same reasons as those Full Gear predictions. So you can enjoy that tomorrow, and then it'll be me and Tempest with hopefully Matt McMuscles this week on the Friday show. And then Tempest and Pete will be reviewing SmackDown on Saturday, and there'll be the Survivor Series show on the Sunday. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.